What's good, everybody? Friday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice, getting down to the wire here in the fantasy hockey playoffs and nearing the tail end of the regular season. So much going on. Robbie, Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, looking at the slate on Friday and, of course, breaking down all the best pickups around the league.
Yeah, so Petey, I think we've got to start with the Rangers obituary here. I guess they're not mathematically out yet, but just couldn't get up for that game against the Islanders. Some funny things, too, for fantasy owners. Actually, before we get too far into it, keep an eye on these last-minute lineup changes. We had a couple things break at around 6:45 to 7 p.m. last night, Pete, where Foligno took a maintenance day. Chris Kreider was announced at 7:01 p.m., that he was on the maintenance shelf. So as a fantasy owner, you got to be dialed in right now with these teams announcing at the last minute, unfortunately. I hope nobody here got burned by that.
Some people in our mentions got burned for sure. We saw it loud and clear yesterday. It's the way it goes sometimes this time of year. You usually expect that stuff the final week of the season. But of course, for Toronto, the game after they clinch, you know, Foligno, the thing about him is he was banged up a little bit between the trade and, you know, his previous game played for Columbus. So it's not like shocking to hear that. But the Kreider thing was a little surprising. You know, hopefully there's not more to it. But just for a game of that magnitude, you wouldn't have expected something tossed around like maintenance day. You know, that's like right. What I mean, Roope Hintz has been playing through maintenance days, I think, all season. So it's just, you know, it caught everybody by surprise. But yeah, you mentioned it. Be on the lookout, especially and for the goalie starters too. You never know. I know sometimes you have to pick between two or three. Sometimes you might find out at 6:45 p.m. Eastern that it might make the decision for you because someone you thought was going to be in is not in. And then it'll, you know, you could slot your two stars in. I know that we had Spencer Knight in yesterday, baby, and he got another win. He's got a .943 save percentage through his first three NHL appearances, and all of a sudden he's ahead of Sergei Bobrovsky in our rankings for the rest of the season. I know it's a short span, but the new era is upon us, right, Robbie?
It is, Pete, and it's funny because you kind of saw this too with Chris Drieger earlier in the season, where once he got hot, they started rolling him out a lot. Then he, you know, he played well all year, right? There was no real reason for him to for them to go back to Bob, but they always gave Bob that veteran treatment to go back to him and let him try and capture the crease, but he never did. He played at a .905 this season, Pete, behind a defense that's pretty good, behind a forward group that's great, and that's just not good enough. So when you see Spencer Knight come in here, three straight W's for the rookie, playing at a nice save percentage there, I mean, you have to think that now this conversation is going to go into the postseason. I don't think this is just a tail end regular season storyline here. I think they might be looking at Spencer Knight to roll out there in the starter's crease for the first playoff game.
Yeah, and looking ahead to next year, I mean, you can say whatever you want about Bobrovsky. He's been a little inconsistent in his career, but he's a two-time Vezina Trophy winner. You know that he can bring it when he's into the game and, you know, in the clutch and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, the past 2 years, Drieger has outperformed him. The team right now is full throttle. It's been an incredible team. It's been the best storyline fantasy-wise of the past month, which is the most important month of the season. They're real players for the division title with two of the top five teams in the league in Carolina and Tampa. And all of a sudden, like, you really just step back and look at Bobrovsky and say, like, you know, it's not injury related. He has a monster contract. Good for him. You know, he got paid in free agency, which he deserved, but he hasn't really been up to the pinnacle of his career or even close to it during his season and a half or season and three quarters in Florida. So, you know, Drieger outperformed him before. Now Knight is probably going to outperform him next season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever it is, I mean, it's the big contract, the sunny weather. I don't know how you can explain it, but, you know, the other guy, it's like been the other guy is more valuable than Bobrovsky every year.
I mean, and it speaks for itself in the Yahoo rank too. Any one of these Florida guys that gets in and starts, I mean, they're just skyrocketing up. And Knight could finish pretty high if he raffles off a few more wins to start the season, pitches another shutout or two, would be tremendous to see as a rookie. But I think when we look at Bobrovsky, and this will always happen, you know, in your fantasy draft next season, someone's still going to take the player because of the pedigree. You know, we see that with other positions too. Once you establish that name value, you're always going to get selected within the top 100. So we will see Bobrovsky probably go in a similar place next season. And there's no question. I mean, he could still turn on his game and recapture that form. But I think we've seen enough from this shortened season where Drieger and both Knight really flourishing when they get the starts. I think that says a lot, especially in keeper leagues too. Now, if you've got a guy like Spencer Knight, you know, I don't want to get too high on Florida, but I think they deserve it at this point. We've seen enough now, Pete, where this is clearly not a fluke. They've got great chemistry. And in the crease for them, I mean, if all those forwards continue to play well next season and find that chemistry again, and then with a healthy Aaron Ekblad, I think you're looking at a very, very valuable goaltender position. If you can get 60% of starts from a guy like Knight next season, you're going to cash in on that.
And they're going to be a fun team for people to bet on, even without Ekblad this postseason, especially if it's Knight. I mean, we've seen rookie goalies, not usually this young, like 20 years old. I know Carter Hart last year had a nice postseason at a very young age. Of course, Binnington, who was older, won the cup as a rookie. Matt Murray won the cup as a rookie twice in his eligibility. So it can be done where you can go on a deep run in the playoffs with a rookie. If they lean with Knight and they somehow pull an upset in the first round and then get Ekblad back for the second round, it's just something to keep in the back of your mind if you're looking for a hot take or a bold prediction for the playoffs, or, you know, looking to get in on somebody who's a little under the radar despite a successful season. And the other thing to keep in mind about Spencer Knight, if I remember correctly, so he was drafted in the first round, in the first half of the first round at 13 in 2019. So that must have been right around late June. And then they signed Bobrovsky after that. So like, it was just like interesting that they made an investment in a rookie goalie or a future stud goalie. And then they also signed a big goalie in free agency. So they've done a nice job. And then the rest of their salary cap picture is as good as anybody's in terms of affordability and value, and even their superstar players. I mean, they're not dishing out the money that Toronto and Edmonton are for their star players. They got those guys, Huberto and Barkov, at affordable deals, considering they've been elite every single season lately. So hats off to Zito, but even before Zito, they've been doing it the right way for a while. And now it's like coming to a head, and it's a really good look for the Panthers long-term.
Well, going back to what you said too about the rookie goalies that were able to hoist a Stanley Cup trophy for their teams, I think it's kind of indicative of where the league is right now too with that position. I mean, you look at Nedeljkovic coming in late February and immediately paying dividends for you in fantasy. I mean, that proves that the waiver wire is what wins fantasy championships. That's why every show with James is so valuable, because you can win your entire season with two right pickups. This past 2 weeks, it was Spencer Knight. The past 2 months before that, it was Nedeljkovic. So you really can win in that format. Now, going back though to the goalie landscape, I think it's very, very interesting. Like, even with Jake Oettinger this year, he should be in this conversation as well, who played pretty well given all of Dallas's injuries and inconsistencies. You know, look at the Washington guys. Each of those guys is racking up wins this year too. So it kind of makes you think like, you know, how much money do you really need to invest in the crease? I mean, look, Bobrovsky is the perfect example of that. Or, you know, can you take a couple of these guys that were drafted in the first and second round and plug them in right away? And it could lead to success. I mean, even Washington is a team that they gave up 5 goals to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday night. They were in that game. They took it to overtime with a rookie goalie, right? I mean, anything can happen. One of these guys can get hot at the right time and go on a run a la Matt Murray. And there you go. You've got another Stanley Cup championship. So it's a really interesting storyline, I think, especially in fantasy too. We saw it this year, Pete. You know, if you dropped Sorokin, you know, after he wasn't playing much in the first month or two, he got burned by that. So it's something to keep an eye on, I think, for next year, especially when you're trying to invest at the goaltender position in fantasy.
Right, and even Kakanen, before he kind of got banished and got no playing time in the second half of the season, I mean, he was early in the year was as hot as anybody. And don't be surprised if, you know, if there's an injury in the playoffs, say to a Varlamov or to a Cam Talbot, and one of these rookies gets a gets a nice opportunity. I'm not saying it's going to be one of those two. I mean, I guess it could be Sorokin. It could definitely be Nedeljkovic. It could be Spencer Knight. I mean, they're like, and you know, yeah. You don't know if Dallas is going to get in, but they're like, when you have four or five really good options playing in the playoffs, there's a good chance one of them might take their team to the Final Four or something like that. So it would be a good storyline to monitor for sure. You mentioned Pittsburgh and how their offense is clicking. It's clicking before the return of Evgeny Malkin. We thought he might come back yesterday. He didn't. Kasperi Kapanen went off anyway, scored two goals, had a really nice game. Has really good numbers on the season, by the way. 26 and 35 in his points and plus 15. And he missed time because of injury himself. So, you know, for me, Kapanen, picking him up now and then hoping he plays with Gino when he comes back in a couple of days, I mean, that could really win you your championship if it extends to next week.
And I remember Evgeny Malkin. I mean, he started so poorly this regular season. And then when he got hot, he was lighting it up before his injury. So I kind of expect that version of Gino when he comes back. Obviously, both Pittsburgh and Washington clinched last night. So no real reason, I think, to rush a player of that magnitude back. But certainly, I think they'll want to get him some reps and get him in game shape prior to the playoffs. So as you mentioned, Pete, Kapanen, even without Malkin, was tearing it up. I mean, both those goals last night were tremendous, by the way. The first one he scored, like, they needed that goal to get in the game, to feel alive. And that's, I think, what got them really going. And then the overtime goal, obviously, as well. I mean, come on. So, yeah, Kapanen, clutch player there. I do think his ceiling is going to be automatically be higher when Malkin's back. That's not a hot take by any means. But I do think if you're in a two-week championship, it's well worth a pickup because you'll probably get a couple games alongside Malkin there. But I think it's a sign of the organization in general. I mean, even a guy like Brian Dumoulin comes back in, playing with Chris Letang on the top pair. Both those guys are so solid. John Marino taking reps on the second power play unit, looking like a pretty good defenseman prospect. I call him a prospect. He's played a lot of games now, but he's still a younger guy. And then, you know, you have these guys like Jared McCann that can step up when need be. Jeff Carter looks pretty good out there, despite, you know, being 36 years old. So you have to say a lot of good things about this Penguins team that really, in my mind, Pete, they're so similar to Washington with their kind of goaltending situation where they might allow three or four goals in a game, but they can score five.
And the Penguins have made the playoffs for the past 15 seasons, which is something that's really, really difficult to do, and winning three cups in that span. So really impressive. And they're going to be a major player for the trophy again this year. I mean, that defense you mentioned, we didn't even mention, you know, guys like CeCe and Mike Matheson, who have like kind of sprinkled in some fantasy value over the past month or so. And the thing with Pittsburgh, it you feel mystified every time you see it, but it seems like almost every year they lose Crosby for a month, or they lose Letang for a month, or they lose Malkin for a month and a half, and they still find a way to make the playoffs. I mean, we've talked about how I've doubted them, but it's pretty amazing to see. And even, you know, their goaltending on certain nights can't handle opposing offenses in that tough division, but they always seem to outscore the teams in those games. So it's been a marvel to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins this year and what they've gone through with yet another major injury and a lot of man games lost.
And I just want to correct myself. Jake Guentzel, excuse me, scored the OT winner, and he has 22 goals this season, Pete. So that's another guy. I have him in a keeper league, actually. I don't even consider it. I automatically keep him because you know the guaranteed exposure that he's going to get. But he's turned into a tremendous player on his own right. He looks so lethal out there. Almost every shift, you notice him doing something good. So a lot of positives to say about the Penguins. But when you look at the East now, if you're trying to kind of make sense of who you think is a playoff favorite to come out of that division, it's tough. I mean, I really like Pittsburgh. I really like Washington, and I'm starting to really like Boston. Taylor Hall scored against his former team in the Sabres last night. So those three teams look great, but then you can never discount the New York Islanders. As we saw on Thursday night, they go out and romp the Rangers 4-0. And Bob, our producer, mentioned before the show that the Islanders were dogs. They were underdogs in that game and beat them down 4-0. So I think when you're looking to make sense of that division, Pete, I mean, it's a coin flip for a lot of these teams. I would, if I had to rank them right now, I think I'd go Washington, Pittsburgh, Boston, Islanders, but any one of those teams could come out and it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Right. You look at the Islanders when they're clicking, could definitely beat any of those three teams. I think the toughest matchup for the Islanders would be even though they haven't really succeeded much against the Penguins this year, the toughest matchup for me would be if they play the Bruins. I think they could beat the Capitals. Yeah, it's just like you could think about that one for 2 weeks with no games being played, and it still wouldn't be enough for you to, you know, put your finger on which team you like the most for sure. So I do think Boston's starting to click at the right time. I know they're taking advantage of a lot of these games against the Buffalo Sabres, which is fine. But yeah, I just think like them having two strong lines, having three strong goalie options if they need them. I sure as heck like Boston's goalie trio more than I say like Colorado's right now. Sure. So like that's one thing you could say. I know it's a little bit tougher road in the East, but not by much. So I think Boston's equipped to get hot at the right time and get back to the Cup final maybe.
Who has the best goaltending in the East? The way I see it, Tuukka in the playoffs, and he's gotten back healthy, I think, his last five games or so. I mean, he's been pretty good, actually really good.
For sure.
Boston's goaltending is what stands out to me in that division. I mean, Washington's goaltending, questionable. Pittsburgh's goaltending, questionable. And the Islanders, you know, their goaltending has to be absolutely spectacular during the playoffs, or, you know, usually, because they don't get enough goal support. So I like Tuukka. Would anyone be surprised if Boston comes out of this thing? I mean, they're a championship medal team. They got Tuukka. Taylor Hall's playing well. So when I look at this division, it's a total mishmash. Who the hell is coming out of it? I can't tell you, but I like Tuukka between the pipes in that division to come out.
Oh, and this has been the hardest division all season long, too. I mean, these are juggernauts. These four teams are very, very built to win championships. All four of them are. Say what you want about New York Islanders scoring. I mean, if they get the first goal in a game, Bob, they could lock it down for the next 40 minutes. It'd be the most boring thing you've ever seen in your life. It doesn't matter. They're winning. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think that argument is even valid anymore. Like, yeah, I'd rather see, you know, Geno Malkin out there ripping it up, but it doesn't matter, you know, so much. I think my only concern with the Islanders is if the opposite happens, the other team scores first, then you're like, okay, now it can be blown wide open, because if the Islanders start pinching down, their defensemen start playing up a little bit, that's when they're vulnerable. But then you have to consider they've got Varlamov back there, who's been great, who's built him out a number of times. Sorokin, if need be, has been tremendous for Barry Trotz and company. So I don't have concerns really about this Islanders team so much.
And this is the first time in 2 years that we've actually had, even though there is a lull right now in fantasy, like there is a buildup to the playoffs now. Of course, last year you had so many months in between, so in the action. So this is going to be a special postseason, no doubt about it. As far as Varlamov, just to echo what you said about how dangerous he could be when he's hot, of course, gets the shutout yesterday, 921 in the save percentage last postseason, and they went to game six of the conference final. So he has the pedigree now of going on a deep run, 928 save percentage this year in 32 games with six shutouts. Oh my God. So yeah, Semyon Varlamov should be in the same sentence as any of the other elite goalies in the league. So I can't believe that number. He got his sixth shutout yesterday.
Well, there may be a lull for some people in fantasy, Pete, but you and I are clinging to first place in an experts roto league right now. Now, the only thing, we are over the max games played for a couple forward positions and defensemen, but I think we're in good shape. So if anyone's still in the championship hunt, you know, make sure to let us know, and we'll try and tinker with your team there a little bit, get you over the hump.
We will, for sure. I think we've been in either first, second, or third in that league for the past 2 months. So it's all coming down here. We're trying to do a little load management of our own with our games played. But back to Varlamov, that actually leads the league. So I wasn't just like going crazy about that six shutout. That's more than Vasilevsky, more than Fleury, more than Grubauer. So incredible stuff for him, especially considering he's kind of like a timeshare where all those other guys, I mean, Fleury's a timeshare, but for Vasi and Grubauer, they're surefire starters most of the season.
So we were talking with Mike Leboff a week and a half ago at this point about, you know, good teams to bet down the stretch. And we talked a little bit about Dallas and how that team has so much to play for. You know, they always find a way to rise to the occasion, and it's a tight game. Well, they play Tampa Bay last night. Vasi pitches a shutout in this one, 20 saves. I mean, they only mustered 20 shots against that Lightning team with everything on the line for the Dallas Stars. So if I had to say that I'm a little disappointed, I think that's fair to say now with this Dallas team. Someone asked me on Twitter before the game, should I start Braden Point or Joe Pavelski? I'm like, I'll take Pavs and you know, watch Point have a hat trick. Well, he didn't, but he scored. And you know, Dallas has nothing, Pete, to answer. And it's like, you're watching the game and you're like, come on, just get it in there and cycle, do something. But they were pretty lifeless in that. So I think that's one team I hope they get in, because Bob, I think they could take down anybody if they do get in, but man, they got to get there first.
Yeah, I do. I do want to see that Dallas matchup with the one seed there in that division, whoever it ends up being. But we talked about Dallas's schedule there. I mean, a lot of games, condensed schedule. They looked out of gas. I mean, you said it, Rob. They just didn't have the energy, it didn't seem like, to muster to do what they need to do on offense. So I think whatever it was, what, 11 games in 19, whatever the number was, it was a lot of games in a short amount of time, and they might be running out of steam here.
The Dallas Stars are having trouble with Tampa Bay this year. They're 1-5 against them, and they still have to play them two more times on the road before the end of the season. So that's, I'm not liking that trend at all. So, I mean, Nashville, there's definitely an opening for you. Saturday, May 1st, we're on the cusp of May already. Can you believe it? But Saturday, May 1st, Dallas at Nashville, that could be one of the games of the year. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Maybe the winner of that game gets the upper hand for the fourth spot in the Central Division. But yeah, for Dallas, I know fantasy-wise, like Jamie Benn and Gurianov on the second line were really erupting for a while. Of course, now they got shut out. So we'll see what they're able to do here down the stretch. I saw Tyler Seguin skating around the rink the other day, so maybe he's getting close. You'd love to see him play in the final 5-6 regular season games. So maybe that's a storyline to watch. Just total speculation, but maybe for a game of that magnitude on Saturday, keep an eye on Tyler Seguin if he's out there on the waiver wire.
And the Nashville Predators face off against the Stars Saturday at 8 p.m. Now, I was listening to John Hines on At The Rink podcast, and he just sounds like a guy you want to play for. He sounds like he's really dialed in right now and focused. I would say this. I don't love the Nashville Predators team makeup, like on paper. I don't love them, but I think they have enough, Pete. If they do buy in, they get the defensemen going. Now they split, you know, two games with the Panthers. They took one, which is good enough against a team like the Panthers. But I think that Dallas game on Saturday is going to be the game that you want to watch and see if Nashville can rise to the, you know, that occasion and beat an opponent like the Stars, who's breathing down their necks right now in the standings.
I'm looking at Granlund for the Nashville Predators lately. He's playing on their second line, playing some center. You know, of course, now they're starting to get healthy. They still don't have Forsberg there, but to be able to get a spurt from Granlund at this point, when it looked like that trade was a lost cause, you know, the Fiala for Granlund trade a couple of years ago, with how Fiala broke out last year. Fiala's been kind of up and down this year for Minnesota. And now Granlund's got a 5-game point streak with 7 points in the span. So good for him to get back in the fantasy mix. He's tri-eligible in Yahoo League. So if you're looking to tap into Nashville's offense, there haven't always been guys this particular season, even though they've been in contention, like other than Tolvanen, not many forwards that you want to touch on that team. Maybe Arvidsson when he started getting hot, but right, even their 1C, Johansson, is just not really fantasy relevant. But to see Granlund emerge and kind of carry his own line on the secondary unit has been encouraging for sure.
And UC Saros too, I mean, deserves a lot of credit this year. I know that we were all pretty high on the player going into the season. Then it looked like their rocky start wasn't going to be able to be enough for them. And now here they are, you know, fourth in the Discover Central Division. And, you know, I mean, anything can happen if you get to the postseason. I don't think Nashville would be able to upset, you know, the one seed like Dallas would be. But I think this team deserves a lot of credit for even being in this position. John Hines really smoothed things out. They had injuries with Ryan Ellis. You know, guys missed time. So key players, too, missed time. Not just, you know, fringe players. Like guys that play 20-plus for them missed some chunks of time. So I think it's pretty remarkable that they're even in this position. And you mentioned it, too, Pete. Without, like, a true number one center producing, it's kind of hard to even fathom, you know, that they're still around kicking the can here.
Well, remember how we were talking about Nashville when they were going through the beginning of the season? I mean, they were going to be sellers, potentially. They were going to sell their players off, and now they're in the mix. And I think Hines and the team coming together and figuring out Staros has been a big difference maker. Also, I do have a future on Staros to win the Vezina. I mean, it would have been an unbelievable payout based on Leboff. Well, that one's not hitting, I can tell you that much. But I actually am rooting for Dallas, though, because I think Dallas can give that one seed in that division fits. And they have the mentality. They know they got to the conference or the cup final last year. I'd rather see that than Nashville. But the fact that Nashville is swirling around and still in the mix, and that game Saturday, that's the game we love as fans. Like that is going to decide so much in that division. So I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday as well.
No doubt. And earlier in the year, like you said, they were almost like on the same cusp of tearing it all down like the Sharks were. And of course, those teams went in different directions the past couple of months of the season. Actually, Robbie, I wanted to touch on the Sharks because they just played spoiler and they beat the Coyotes twice. So now they kind of ruined the Coyotes season. The Blues have been playing well, too. But they have this kid, Barabanov, that they picked up in one of those three-team trades at the deadline. He's actually playing well. He's playing up top a little bit with Evander Kane. You see any value in this player as a streamer? Because we always try to find some hidden gems on this show. He's only two games in, but he's got a point in each game and I think four shots and plus two on San Jose. Not too shabby, maybe. And he's playing good minutes. He's playing like 16, 17 minutes both games.
I'm rolling him out in DFS, Pete. I love the lineup placement for him. I like the spoiler angle for teams like San Jose, for teams like LA. I would stream Quentin Byfield too, who made his debut the other night, four shots in 17 minutes for him playing center. So I like what I'm seeing here from the Sharks. You know, just again, it's nothing to get too high on right now. I would never be like, go out and pick three guys up from San Jose. No. But if you're in a very, very deep league, I think Barabanov is a great streaming option with the lineup placement. I mean, Evander Kane, Pete, has been a top 50 guy in fantasy the past two seasons now with his category coverage. So you really can't miss when you're playing alongside a guy like that. And especially if you're in a deep league where the waiver wire, I mean, I was in a league this year where the wire was horrible. I mean, there was nobody. You honestly had to just sort by, you know, recent goals, because otherwise you couldn't find a single player that was worth rostering. So I think you have to take a shot if you're in a setting like that. But if you're still playing DFS down the stretch here too, I mean, you can't beat that price, number one, and then the exposure, I think, is the cherry on top.
For the waiver wire right now, this is going to be, some games tonight, some games on Saturday, and then there's one game on Sunday between Tampa Bay and Detroit. Mm-hmm. So we're already getting questions. Which goalie is going to start for Detroit on Sunday? Should I pick up McElhinney hoping he starts? Should I pick up, Barré-Boulay, who's playing on the top line for the Alex Barré-Boulay for the Tampa Bay Lightning? That's the one guy that I would say, great lineup placement. He scored two goals in his past three games playing up there, and he's got 12 shots in the three games. So that's another hidden gem pickup by the Lightning, undrafted player, and getting the opportunity with Stamkos and Kucherov both sidelined.
Yeah, I mean, and Killorn's on fire, Coleman scoring now. I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It doesn't even matter who's up there playing 17 minutes. Give him a jersey. I've got him in my fantasy lineup no matter what it says on the back of it. So that team is tremendous. Like they are, I mean, they should win again. They really should. Without Kucherov, without Stamkos, the way that they're still rolling off wins against good teams, Vasi's playing the best hockey out of any goalie the past 3 years. I mean, this guy, every night you feel good about him starting, Pete. It's ridiculous, honestly. So I like this Bolts team a lot. Again, that's not a trendy take. That's not a hot take, but I think they deserve a lot of credit for their injury situation. It's not easy to play without a guy like Kucherov. It's not easy to play without your captain and Steve Stamkos. So major credit deserved there. Again, definitely pick up Barboulet. Love the name. Love the player. Definitely some flashy edge there to him. And when you're playing 17 minutes for the Tampa Bay Lightning, you could do a whole lot worse. Now, Detroit, on the other hand, though, this weekend, I do think they have some sneaky appeal. I think Vrana has been a great shot in the arm for them. Really big boost. He scored another goal last night, played 21 minutes, which that has to be close to a career high for him. He never got that opportunity in Washington. So I would go out. If you're trying to win, if you're trying to be aggressive, I think Thomas Greiss could be the guy to do it. I told Davey that this morning. That was prior to my coffee, Pete. I'm not sure if that's a good move. It's definitely not as bad as the Anthony Stolarz move, I'll say that. So I'll be watching that Detroit game this weekend. You can count on it.
And Jacob Vrana on the cusp of top, or he is tied for eighth. So he is in the top 10 in even strength goals this season. So And that could definitely continue. He could climb that list by the end of the season. So, yeah, he's a lineup lock for Sunday, no doubt. Grice, some hidden gem value. His past 11, 12 games, he's got like a 940 and he's playing around 500. So good to see him turn it around after he was kind of, you know, early in the season. Thomas Grice, after signing with them and, you know, being the odd man out with the Islanders, he kind of was like, you know, like a pinata with that team. He was just giving up goals left and right. It wasn't even his fault. But I think that the Detroit Red Wings, since the beginning of March, definitely still around 500 and, you know, playing spoiler some nights, picking teams off, hidden gem fantasy value. They're a nice team to target based on the schedule, especially when they're the only team playing that day. So I love that. I love that, like, that those moves for fantasy, right? Like, just, it seems obvious, but like, just that, like, you don't care if a guy's on the Red Wings. If he wins you your championship, you'll take it.
And not at this point in the season too, like, those teams will want to play these games. They'll want to play tight. I mean, Detroit, if they finish above Columbus in the standings in that division, I mean, that's a tip of the cap to their management, to their coaching. Like, that's something that not a lot of people would have predicted at the beginning of the season. So I think that deserves some praise. Before we wrap up though, I've got to bring up one last storyline out of left field here. Is the Calgary Flames are somehow still in this playoff race here. They're now right behind the Canadiens. Now, they've had one more game than the Canadiens, so they have one less to finish, but they play the Canucks four times, I believe, because of all those games that got postponed. I mean, that could be four wins right there. So this race, you know, I'm shocked that Calgary's even in this thing, but big win against Edmonton on Thursday night. And now all of a sudden, if they can get these games against Vancouver at the tail end of the season, they could sneak in.
And I have one guy in my weekly league, Elias Lindholm. I think I mentioned him on a previous show. He's leading them in scoring, I believe. He has been a lineup lock for me. In that league, I think everybody else I've rotated in and out because of injuries or production trends and stuff like that. But like, Elias Lindholm has been in my lineup in that league every single week this season. And he's like, he'll have a point streak. Even if they go on a losing streak, he'll score two of their three goals on a given night. He's a powerhouse for that team. And, you know, Gaudreau has been playing a little bit better the past couple of weeks. So, you know, good to see them not go out with a whimper. You know, I saw someone was posting a lot of playoff predictions from the beginning of the year. They went back into the archive and were calling people out for picking Vancouver and stuff. And a lot of people picked Calgary too, including myself. So if they get in over Montreal, wouldn't have been shocking at the beginning of the playoff, beginning of the season, I would say. But yeah, good to see them not just bow out here.
And for Montreal, I mean, 6-10 in the month of April, you know, after a coaching change and everything, just, I don't know. It probably doesn't leave a great taste in the fans' mouths. And unfortunately, John Drouin, who I still think is a key player for them offensively, even though he had a down year production-wise, is taking an indefinite leave from the team. So, you know, something to keep an eye on for the Calgary team. I mean, Markstrom, as we know in seasons past, especially in fantasy, he can steal games. It doesn't matter who they're playing. So I'm going to be watching their games with a little bit more excitement now. I do think Montreal would be the better fit if they do get the, you know, that playoff spot. I'd love to see Carey in the playoffs again, especially if it's against a team like Toronto. That would, we as hockey fans, I feel like we are owed that. We need to see Montreal, Toronto round one. That being said, though, I think it's remarkable Calgary's in this thing. I can't wait to see if they make it close. And, you know, the fact that we've been having this dialogue at this point in the season after we basically wrote Calgary off 2 months ago, it's pretty impressive.
It is. And Jacob Markstrom may be worth a flyer again on the waiver wire. I know his save percentage on the season does not look very good. It's like 903, 904, something like that. But, you know, if they're going to be competitive, if they have games against Vancouver, whom it seems the wheels have fallen off of the past couple of days. Yeah, it's good matchups for sure. Calgary played well against Montreal in their meetings, the head-to-head meetings the past couple of weeks. So they deserve to be here. That's the best way to get back into the race, right? If you take advantage of your common opponents that you're chasing in the standings. So give them some credit for that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Vancouver is kind of the New York Rangers of the West, where it's like they look great and you're like, yeah, this team's awesome, they're gonna do great, and then they go out and they can't get a big win and you're like, okay, this team stinks, and then the next night they've got a great win and you're like, yeah, this team's awesome, we're playing the parade. So definitely frustrating, I think, for Vancouver fans that can all relate to that this year. For Rangers fans, I think they deserved a better fate with their goal differential, as we mentioned last program, but you know, you got to win the big games, and you can beat the New Jerseys all you want, you can beat the Buffaloes all you want, but you know, when the puck drops and Chris Kreider's taking a maintenance day and a must-win game, you're kind of left scratching your head wanting a little bit more. He's probably banged up, though. I don't think Coach Quinn would keep him out for nothing, but yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on. Again, you know, as a reminder, make sure your fantasy lineups are set. The players are in, because you cannot miss a man game right now if you're trying to lift the championship trophy.
And be careful out there with the auto set your lineup thing. The other day it burned me. It's burned me a bunch of times this season just because I'm – you know, half the time I take the lazy route and just set it for the whole week and then maybe check it if I remember a few hours before or something like that. But in our top 250 or top 200 rankings, I'm fortunate to have Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury. They're both in the top 20. I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life covering fantasy hockey, you know, with two goalies from the same team in the top 20 overall. I have them, which is a luxury, but I had them both in my lineup because they were playing the same night as Jack Campbell the other day for the Maple Leafs. Of course, I got the win for Fleury, but I didn't get credit for the win for Campbell. So that victory and one goal allowed is sitting on my bench. And if I lose my matchup, I'll look back at that. So learn from my mistake and be a little bit more vigilant with your lineups.
I might draft both those guys next year, PD, in the late second and early third round. Hopefully, if I get a wraparound pick, I make that happen. And then I never have to worry about it. I'll just roll two goalies, get every Vegas win, which will be around 70% of the entire season, and I'll be good.
It's true. That was the idea of what I did, but I was able to get Fleury a lot later than the second or third round. I think it got Fleury in like seventh or eighth round or something like that, crazy. But yeah, and Vegas, you know, looks like they're going to win the division, but I mean, before we wrap, what are you worried about the Colorado Avalanche? What's going on lately? They've lost a couple in a row. I don't know. They're going to get some guys back on Friday, right? Like some Grubauer maybe, or Donskoy, Rantanen. Mm-hmm. Are you worried? Because the timing of this couldn't be any worse for a team that so many people picked to win the whole thing at the beginning of the year.
No, I'm not worried at all. I mean, this team could sleepwalk into the postseason. It wouldn't alarm me. When you have a guy, a leader like Nathan MacKinnon, you can never press the panic button there, especially if he's healthy. Rantanen coming back again, no rush there, but hopefully he gets some game reps a la Geno Malkin here before the playoffs. Goaltending, that's the only area where I say, yeah, I don't love that. If it has to come down to Dubnyk or JoJo in the playoffs, that's another story, but I don't want to plan for worst case scenario. I mean, Grubauer has been in the Vezina, you know, trophy race all season long, deserves it. He's played tremendous for them. Their defense, I mean, so deep with Devontae, Samuel Girard, Cale Makar. I mean, this guy is scoring every night now with a point. So I'm not worried, Pete. I do want to see, you know, their goaltending situation with Grubauer. I want to see him get in a couple reps here and play well before the postseason. But beyond that, I think that's a team that just is ready for the postseason. They did their work in January, February, and March. They're good.
I think they'll be fine. They have had some surprising defensive breakdowns, even though they're only allowing like 20, 25 shots a game, even during their losing skid right now. But a couple of the goals they've been giving up have been concerning with the defensive breakdowns and odd man rushes. It's just not something you normally see from the Avalanche because they do have such a deep defense. And then the other thing with them is just Kadri. I mean, where has this guy been in terms of actually finishing plays and putting the puck in the net for the past 2 months? If you get playoff version Nazem Kadri for the playoffs this year, like he got last year, they will be just fine. They might go all the way, but can he just flip a switch like that? It's difficult to do, especially when different guys are out of the lineup. Now Saad's out, Donskoy's out, you know, Berkey's top line. He's not playing with the same guys every night. It's just a storyline to watch. We've talked about how he's been disappointing, but I don't know that he's just going to flip the switch. And without secondary scoring, you're not going to go further than a round or two.
Agreed. It's definitely a good storyline, and especially because Vegas looks like a total juggernaut with no concerns, you know, other than maybe their centers aren't as good. I just can't, you know, get too down on this Avs team, which has been tremendous all season long. So if you guys are, you know, laying any bets this weekend, make sure to hit us up on Twitter. We'll help you, you know, maybe don't ask me. I've been cold lately. I'll say that. Don't ask me. I gave bad advice on Twitter last night. So maybe defer to Petey and Bobby this weekend. They'll carry me.
The board isn't great tonight. I'm going to pass completely on the board and look forward to the Saturday board. And, you know, like I said, my eyes are going to be on that. Well, we got the Rangers Islanders. My eyes will be on that. And then Dallas Nashville. My eyes will be on that. And then the Calgary Edmonton game. My eyes will be on that Saturday. Yeah. So I'm going to take a breather from the pucks on Friday and then jump on board Saturday. If I have anything, I'll tweet it out. Petey.
Yeah.
Well, keep an eye out for DFS, at least for the Coyotes. I know they have a tough matchup against Vegas, but Phil Kessel has been rolling lately, 30 points in his past 35 games, and actually has good splits against the Golden Knights with 4 and 6 this year. So roll him out. He's a little, you know, he's not cheap, but Phil Kessel is quietly having a bounce back season. I'm worried about the Winnipeg Jets a little bit too. I don't know that team, especially with how they played against the Edmonton Oilers this past week. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win a round this year. So it's a good chance for Montreal to maybe get the ship back on track here. You know, to pick Montreal on the puck line against the Jets is +200. Puck line's been a little shaky lately these days, but a +200 number, you know, don't overlook that. That's about all I'm seeing on the board. Yeah, Sharks will get blown away by the Avalanche and the Kings Ducks game. I mean, maybe a prop on Byfield or something. I think Byfield will get a goal or something. I saw Byfield, I think it was like through the second period, he was playing more ice time than Kopitar. I mean, he's going to be penciled in as the 2C next year for LA. It's pretty exciting to see that type of usage right from the get-go when he gets into the lineup.
Guys, we love hockey. We love it. We're puckheads, but if I'm sitting down, I'm watching the Kings Ducks, even a second of it on a Friday night, I really need to go and get a lobotomy, get my head checked. Okay. I have to say it because that is not how you want to spend a Friday night. And I'm not disrespecting the game of hockey. We love the game of hockey and there's always storylines, but that to me is one where you don't even give it a second glance. Okay. That's all I have. Saturday's the puck. That's the day you sit down and watch the games.
I may or may not be watching round 2 of the NFL draft this evening. I think I'll have the Montreal Winnipeg game on the next screen just to see which one, you know, is lobbying to be the real contender in the division. But yeah, I agree. Saturday slate, that's where my eyes are at. Tuning ahead, you know, big matchups tomorrow. You know, hey, one more thing before we go, the Devils. This team is scoring at will right now. Sharon Govich is looking like a big time player. Yes, it was against Philadelphia, but that's another guy, Pete. You got to be either streaming in DFS or if you're in a championship league, don't be scared of this Devils team right now.
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet about the Flyers. They really need to, maybe not blow it up, but they need an overhaul of the roster, I think, this offseason. They have some young talent, but I think the old guard there it's just not happening anymore, right? I mean, it's sad to see like guys like Giroux and Voracek and but what has happened with, Provorov's the only one. We saw Provorov's like a plus on the season. We were saying, right, he should get a trophy for that with how the Flyers season has gone the past couple of months. But anyway, next week, we're going to have one episode for you. It'll be, you know, tail end of the season trends and also keeper league. We'll get a lot of keeper questions. We'll have James on. We'll do that. We'll give you like an evergreen episode that you could use for that week and also listen back to for, you know, planning for next season, of course. And then comes the time whenever they announce the playoffs, right? We'll have the playoff preview for playoff pools and we'll also have the betting preview and we're going to have Michael Leboff on for that. So really excited for this time of year. It'll be kind of the unconventional week of episodes next week, but it'll be worth the wait once the playoffs are announced.
Yeah. And if you've never done a playoff pool for fantasy, I highly recommend it. We'll be doing them this year. We'll tell you where to find it, how to do it. It's so much fun, Petey, you know, especially because it kind of makes you think who can go long-term, who you know, who's going to be a first round exit, but they'll play well regardless. So definitely fun for that. Keep an eye on that. And then any other questions, you know, this weekend, hit us up at NHL Reese, at NHL Jensen for Petey, at Aircheck for Bobby, at NHL Fantasy for both of us, and keeper questions at Waiver Wire, James, and we'll tee them up on the program Monday morning. Talk to you again very soon.